April 3rd, 2019.
This will be the business and social media section of the week. Also could be called the Apple and Facebook.
There's a lot of stories that are interrelated with our government stories that we covered yesterday, though.
It's pretty scary. Chromium has closed unexpectedly. That's okay.
It wasn't that Chromium. It was a different Chromium.
We wanted it to close unexpectedly because it had died from all the tracking scripts, even with an ad blocker. But we need those tracking scripts because how else would the powers that be able to track our evil actions like piracy?
Music labels have sued Charter and complained that high internet speeds fuel piracy. Now, that was one of the more, I guess, inflammatory claims. But they also claimed that Charter has never disconnected a subscriber, even though the music labels have been like, hey, these guys are pirating. Hey, this guy's pirating. Oh, this same IP address is pirating again. Will you do nothing? Charter has done nothing, according to the music labels.
So they insist that people must be kicked off. And those speeds must be dialed down because there is no reason to have that much speed unless you're stealing. Never. It's never okay. If you're doing the proper things, if you're watching that government-mandated footage, not what they don't want you to see, not objectionable content, then you're fine with low speeds. Get used to it. Another big announcement that I think a lot of people got hyped about, despite the fact that there was absolutely no information at all. None.
Valve's long-rumored VR headset is finally real! The Valve Index, coming in May. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but didn't, like, 6 months ago, Valve lay off everybody that was working on hardware? Like, they got rid of the Steam controller people, they got rid of, like, all those people? So who made this?
Maybe they were done with it by then, they just waited till now to announce it. It's like, alright, you're finished. Go away.
The lenses are made from a rare Tibetan snow sand, and it took that long to collect snow sand in order to make the necessary lenses for mass production of the Index.
But it's coming, and apparently they're working on, wait for it, Valve is going to make video games again.
Well, they did actually, is Robo Recall a Valve one?
I have no idea.
One of the Valve VR games was a lot of fun, and the Portal game in VR was, there were some very interesting and clever VR mechanics that...
I don't think Valve made that.
Really?
No, That was somebody else.
I thought Valve was responsible for some of the clever stuff that came out with VR because it was like, VR is such a new cool thing and everybody was trying to cram the old tropes into a VR interface, and it was like, no, you got to totally rethink the interface.
Well, speaking of rethinking things, how about a credit card? But wait, it doesn't have a credit card number.
This is a level one prediction come true. We talked about this.
But wait, it doesn't have a CVV. But hold on even further, it doesn't have an expiration date. So it's a card with your name on it?
The Apple Card. After mocking credit cards, Apple has created one with Goldman Sachs. This is a level one prediction. We predicted this. Go back and watch the episode of the news from like 17 years ago where it was like Apple and Goldman Sachs are working together. And it's like, we knew this was... We were talking about it in the context of like iPhones have gotten so expensive that Apple's going to subsidize the cost. And we were talking about it in that context. But here it is. You can buy all of your Apple stuff. And if you do, you get 3% cash back.
And presumably you can use it other places too, but I guess maybe it's that tap or chip software.
It said that there's two things. So one, it's built into Apple Pay. And if you use your card virtually, you get 2% back. So if you're buying stuff on the Apple Store,
from Apple,
online. No. It's 2% cash back from anybody as long as it's online.
Is it 2?
And 1% everywhere else. If you physically use your card anywhere that takes a chip, because it's the chip reader thing. Which is why you don't need a CVV or any of the other stuff. It's only chip, no swipe, I guess.
I don't know. I don't think it was 2% everywhere online.
It was 2%, and then 1% is
physical. 2% was from 3% from Apple,
yep,
for hardware, 2% from Apple Store.
I thought it was 2% from everywhere.
You got something back everywhere.
1% in physical and in person. 2%, but, I mean, for 2% back, I'll get an Apple card. I don't care.
See, I don't think you get 2% everywhere. You can get a, it's the double bonus city card or something like that, where they give you 1% on purchases and 1% when you pay them. Mm. That's the best card. If you can get it, you got to be like 740 to get it. So I've been thinking about switching to that, actually. And here it comes. Just this is the Apple train. It will not stop. Let's start with not a new product, but a product that will not be.
Apple cancels the long-delayed AirPower charging mat. They said they just couldn't make it up to Apple standards, so they gave up.
I'm in the market for a mat, an anti-kitty litter mat. You think this would work for that?
No. It probably would set the kitty litter on fire. It's like, oh, there's something I can charge, and it like sends an electromagnetic field through it, and then it catches on fire.
Yeah, well, that would solve the problem.
And Ryan got cats, in case you guys didn't know. And they're young cats. And they're problematic.
Very. The other thing that Apple is doing with all of these new releases is advertising them. And they want you to sign up for all these new services, which we'll talk about momentarily. But here's the thing. Apple has rules about advertising on its own platform. And maybe it's
and
not,
content aggregation.
Not following.
Once again, Apple isn't following its own advertising rules. So this Verge article goes on to point out how in Apple's developer guides, it's like, don't ever do this. And yet their own news and subscription application does exactly what they say not to do.
You have to announce the price, whether or not it's recurring, and it has to be in a large font comparable to whatever you make the rest of the ad. There has to be an easy way to cancel your subscription. There's all these rules. Apple's doing none of it. It's like, hey, try the new service. Click here, one button click. And that's also not allowed. You have to have like a review and confirm page. And Apple says, you know what? This is our house and we'll do what we want. And when you turn 18 and get your own house, then you can follow your own rules. But while you're under this roof, young man, you'll do what Apple says, not what we do. And one of those subscriptions that they want you to get is the arcade.
The Apple Arcade is a new game subscription for iOS, Mac, and Apple TV. This is not a cloud gaming service. There have been a lot of cloud gaming services that have come out in the news. And so people were like, oh, is this Apple's cloud gaming? No, this is just a library of games you have access to. If you get the subscription, they're always going to be adding more games. And I guess your save games and your progress or whatever will follow you around to all kinds of different Apple devices. So your saves are in the cloud, but the game itself runs locally on your device.
But here's the crazy part. All exclusive games. So you got to wonder, I would love to see what the payment structure looks like for the developers.
If your app is not popular, you don't get paid. Wow, it's literally a battle royale of game developers.
You think, well, they got to give you something up front, right? Or you think it's totally based on number of installs?
No. Well, I think that, so like one of the developers working on this is Will Wright. He's the guy that came up with SimCity. I think Apple probably gave him some money to do that. But some of the other developers are just like, no, it's cool, Apple. I'll go homeless. I believe in myself, and I'm going to do this game. And like, I've known some app developers that have done that. They literally like quit their job and been like living out of their car, and it ends badly every time.
But to never be able to monetize it anywhere else, what if you built Fortnite and Apple had the exclusive right to it forever? You never got to take it somewhere else.
Apple would be real happy about that. Yeah,
Apple would be real happy about that, but you wouldn't. You'd be very depressed. And while you sit at home, unable to sell your product anywhere else, maybe you can kill the hours by watching some TV.
Apple TV Plus, with shows from Spielberg, Oprah, and J.J. Abrams, is coming this fall. Now, J.J. Abrams is blotted from my memory, so we won't talk about him. But I feel like Spielberg and Oprah have been paid a lot of money by Apple to do this.
But that's not exactly, I mean, J.J. Abrams is fairly new to the scene, but Spielberg and Oprah, I feel like their best work is behind them.
I don't know.
Seems like they're going after some used up talent.
Spielberg did that thing where he was looking for a protege. Like, they turned that into a reality TV series. I don't know what happened with that.
Also, Apple TV Plus is going to go head to head with the already announced Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Why are everybody going to call it Plus?
You know what's really insane? Apple had the chance to buy Netflix in like 2014 or 2015 for a fraction of what it's worth today.
I don't blame them. I didn't believe Netflix was ever going to catch on.
Well, is it that Netflix has caught on because they spent literally every cent they can borrow on content and they're now so upside down that they're going to get bought by somebody like Apple?
Who can say? Well, that's not all. You're going to get Apple TV Plus, and you might get Disney Plus, so you might as well get News Plus, right? Just add a plus sign. Whatever you're selling, it's got to be plus.
Level one Patreon Plus now at level one stored on level one. I don't know. Apple is unveiling the $9.99 new subscription service dubbed Apple News Plus. Now, this is the app that we mentioned where it's like you just tap the button for the free trial, but then after that, it's not free. So it doesn't really tell you. You got to check the fine print.
This is also the one that the New York Times spoke against last week and said they would not participate. But you don't just get news, you get magazine subscriptions.
Yeah, Apple gets to decide how the content is aggregated, though. So yeah, I'm sure that you can browse and get the full magazine, but there's probably going to be some kind of a reader, and it's probably going to evolve over time.
And they're gonna cherry pick articles and shape the narrative.
Yeah.
That is the big. That's what's so valuable about it. And it's gonna, you're gonna get a 6 month subscription. I mean, they haven't announced this, but I'm presuming you're gonna buy a new Apple device like an iPad or an iPhone, and it's like, oh, you get 6 months free of News Plus, and then we'll tell you what's real and what isn't. And then when after that 6 months is up, you're gonna keep it, right? Just click this button.
I heard about a disturbance in New Zealand. No, everything is fine in New Zealand. You should take another. What was the pill from Brave New World?
Soma.
Yeah, it's like you need another Soma. Okay, sounds good.
and some so we've heard about, some good things coming from Apple, I guess if you're into that kind of thing, and we've heard about some things that were canceled, but how about some things that are disappointing?
iFixit's turn on the Apple AirPods are disappointingly disposable. So iFixit tried everything they could possibly think of to replace the batteries in the AirPods because it's like they're like their opinion is basically that the AirPods are not terrible wireless headphones. They're actually pretty good, but the batteries are only going to last a year or so. Wouldn't it be nice if we could replace the battery? Is there some way we can like heat the glue or like use a scalpel? Or like the special pry bar tool, or like can we design a tool to make it easy to replace the batteries? And the answer is no. You will destroy them when you replace the batteries. They've been intentionally designed to be awful.
They couldn't do it.
Literally designed by the devil, awful.
They tried, and these are people who take apart iPhones and glue together phones for a living. This is what they do. They come up with ways to do that. They could not do it. And thus they gave it a score of 0 out of 10. The Samsung alternative, they scored a 6 out of 10, which was similarly very difficult to deal with, but not literally impossible. So, what are you going to do? Now, if you don't want to be on the Apple subculture, you want to get your news somewhere else, maybe you'll get the news from the Washington Post. There's no technology overlord controlling that. Oh, wait, there is. And it seems like maybe that was the reason his nudes were leaked.
Dun, 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 dun. The Bezos investigation finds the Saudis obtained his private data. Now, I read this and I was thinking, it's the Russians. Like that boogeyman. But dude, Bezos literally has Batman working for him.
Yeah, this is first person from the guy who was doing like the security work.
He's done Bezos' security work for 22 years, and he's literally Batman.
So, National Enquirer leaked the story, and you thought it ended there. And then it was revealed that the mistress's brother leaked some of the stuff.
Plausible.
Makes sense. He was looking for money. National Enquirer paid him money.
And he probably would have had access to those text messages on his sister's phone. I
Makes
mean,
sense.
makes sense.
But this guy wasn't satisfied. He dug deeper. And this is a long article. I mean, we went super long last time. We got to try to get through this a little quicker. But
It's amazing.
it boils down to this was like the brother thing might have just been misdirection.
Deliberate misdirection.
And the Saudis were in on his phone. And the whole point of the National Enquirer thing was to get him to sign to pay them off and sign documents saying that they would not look into the phone being bugged, even though the phone being bugged was never mentioned.
Yeah. So the private investigator, like, he goes through all of that here, and it's amazing. This is an amazing, amazing read. And after reading it, I'm pretty convinced the Saudis probably are behind it. And then you may be thinking, as the private investigator was, is like, why would the Saudis even care? And it turns out because of the reporting on the reporter that was killed.
Yeah, the Washington Post said some things that the Saudis didn't like. And
if they're willing to do that over, what else are they willing to do?
And there's some, you know, Jewish versus Muslim stuff.
It's like, Jeff Bezos is not Jewish.
Well, listen, isn't every capitalist Jewish in their eyes?
But I mean, it's like, is having a lot of money like what makes you Jewish? Because isn't that one of the wealthiest countries in the world?
But anyway, Lord Bezos was too smart to sign those documents, and instead he, you know, sicked his dogs on it, and it seems like they have uncovered the truth. But yeah, that is a dense, long article, but it is fascinating. It reads like a Batman comic.
It really does. And I mean, I've got to give it to Jeff Bezos, because, you know, lesser men probably would have, and probably have, if this is how the Inquirer operates, been like, all right, fine, we'll do that, just keep it under wraps. And he was like, nope, I'm gonna embrace it. I'm just it's like, let's do it.
You know what, maybe he's got a huge penis. He's like, show him, I don't care, I'll show the world. Well, Amazon, one thing that we've learned that they do not like, other than Iranian hackers, are taxes. And they're powerful enough to just say no. Say, no, you're not going to tax me like that, or else I'm going to leave and you're going to suffer. But what about when another heavyweight steps in and says yes to taxes?
Microsoft is backing a major tax hike on itself and also Amazon. But why? The GeekWire article goes into it. It's going to be a 66% increase for companies like Microsoft and Amazon, and a 33% increase in companies that make more than $100 billion a year. Some absurd number.
But only Microsoft and Amazon are big enough to hit that top tier.
Yeah.
And they assume that Microsoft is saying yes to this, not only because it's a public relations win, but also because they want to get down on the ground floor and say, we want the money to go here. And they want that money to go into education and tech workers,
STEM and that kind of thing,
because they want to, you know, bring all those people into Microsoft, and sort of they're languishing a little bit. You know, they need to
start to find smart people.
Whereas Amazon's business is not totally dependent on intelligent people.
Well, the world is it's not only is it difficult to find smart people to work for you, it's difficult to find clients that are willing to accept the best solution. Like, you can deliver a solution to a client that is actually the best solution for them, but they can't be bothered to learn how to use it properly. And so they end up getting not the best solution because they're too dumb to operate whatever it is that you would give them. It's a very sad world we live in.
We talked about Huawei, and the UK government has now come out against them. And of course, Trump hates them, and they are fighting for their lives, it would seem, every day. Everybody's like, oh, you're under China's pocket. You're insecure. We can't do business with you. And yet, they had a really good year.
Huawei has topped $100 billion in revenue for the first time despite political headwinds. Just goes to show you the old adage, there's no such thing as bad press.
Yeah, well, everybody knows their name, don't they?
They actually have a really good laptop. I really wanted the 3x2 aspect ratio, like the MacBook Pro X or something like that. That is an astonishingly nice laptop. And now it's like, can I roll my own firmware on this?
You can't go a week without talking about Tesla. That's just how it is. And so we have to talk about Tesla, and we have to talk about what happens when a Tesla dies.
Tesla cars keep more data than you think, including this video of a crash that totaled a Model 3. So turns out the in-car computer knows a lot about you. It knows who the owner is. It may be enrolled in an application. There's dash cam footage. We got all that.
And when you wreck your car, you think about, okay, I have a Tesla and I'm smart enough to factory reset it and wipe everything when I'm done before I sell it. But if you wreck it, you might not even be conscious. And if the car is totaled and your insurance company doesn't want to deal with it, they're going to sell it to a salvage yard. And it's going to go to that salvage yard, and some Tesla hacker is going to buy it for $200 and extract all your video out of it, which is exactly what this guy did.
It turns out that the computer may not even be operational until you, like, to erase it in the first place. So maybe Teslas need a black box or something where like the storage is removable and you can just go in and grab the module.
So this guy actually puts together Teslas from parts and puts in the custom firmware and all that stuff and hacks them. And he discovered this because he, you know, buys crashes, puts them back together. He found these people's videos. He also discovered that if you were doing what he's doing and cobbling them together, they will not send you the updates on a regular schedule. You can get them eventually. Like you can manually go in and get them months later, but that automatic stuff doesn't work on non-standard Teslas, which is interesting. How about Fortnite? We talk about Fortnite quite a bit. It is a cultural phenomenon. Now I've seen memes that show that people are sort of abandoning it and going to like Apex and, you know, hopping from hot battle royale to battle royale, but it doesn't seem to have slowed down in the income department. They are, it's monolithic, the power they have and the money that they're bringing in. And so much money, in fact, that they're saying Fortnite, a stupid battle royale game, is going to become the next big thing.
Fortnite creator sees Epic Games becoming as big as Facebook and Google. Now, let's not forget that Epic created Fortnite after seeing the runaway success of PUBG.
Well, it's not even... No, that's... It's worse. They created Fortnite as, like, the zombie wave game, remember?
Oh, yeah.
And nobody cared. And then PUBG partnered with them to do the Battle Royale game, and they were like, oh, yes, this is effective. We will do this in Fortnite. And you know what? You got to give it to them. They did it correctly. So now they have so much money. And of course, there's the whole exclusive Epic Game Store content. They keep buying exclusive video games, hot new video games, and people are furious. But they just have unlimited money because of Fortnite. So
what you're saying is that Epic is going to look at all the successful games on the market, and if they can't be bought, they're going to do a clone.
I don't know if they're even going to bother. They're going to pull a Valve. They're going to stop making games, start making money. But they also, and here's the part that I don't think is going to make sense, but they say eventually they want to transition Fortnite away from anonymous battle royale gaming to a social destination.
So one of the problems with Valve not making games is that I don't think they could make a Half-Life 3 that would make everybody happy. But if they could, if that was possible in this universe, what would be the dream team of writers to write that game to come up with a satisfying ending for Half-Life 3? A satisfying end to the trilogy.
It would be J.J. Abrams and M. Night Shyamalan.
I don't think that would be satisfying for me.
No, just it'd be so J. good. Abrams, so good. It would be. And who's the guy who makes all the explosions? The meme.
Michael Bay.
Yeah, Michael Bay.
I was thinking more like the guy that did Goosebumps and Steven Spielberg.
Again, past their prime. Need some young blood in there. Well, some bad news if you're working in the tech industry, especially if you're working at Intel.
Oh, yeah.
My
condolences.
They don't need you anymore.
Intel has laid off hundreds of tech administrators. This is sort of an interesting juxtaposition because there are a lot of people that are starting at Intel on April 2nd that came from this very industry, like working like reviewers and stuff. Intel has hired a lot of those people.
But they're not doing IT.
No.
This is all IT people, not people working on new technology. And they have just farmed it all out to India.
Yeah, Infosys in India. It's a bad day if you're an IT person.
Unless you're in India.
Unless you're in India. Because good news, Infosys is expanding its role with Intel.
They're going to be hiring like crazy. And if you live in the Bay Area, you know, the hot place where all the tech people live and they've driven the housing into such insane places that other people can't live there, well, you also will be... Oh, ad blocker.
No.
We can still see the title bar.
Yeah, tech layoffs at a ton of companies. There was a couple surprising names in here, but SAP and Oracle. We talked about the Oracle layoff, PayPal, and there was one or two other companies, but I've forgotten what they were.
Yeah, they're blocked by the orange square.
No.
But pretty much all the big names in that area are all...
It was the end of a quarter.
Cutting.
So, gotta save some money on our financial outlooks. Oracle's going to complete its transition to just lawyers. Only people who work for Oracle will be just lawyers in like 5 or 10 more years.
Then they just start suing each other.
Yeah. The different divisions. It's like, yeah.
I don't. Have you ever used Venmo?
I've never used Venmo.
Venmo, I think, is hot among the younger people.
For just transferring money?
Small amounts of money. Yeah. Like if you're at dinner, instead of splitting the check,
just
Venmo me $5 and I'll get it or whatever. I've also seen a lot of screenshots on the Choosing Beggars subreddit that apparently people will go on dating services like Tinder and they'll match with you. And it'll be a beautiful girl, but then she just tries to get you to Venmo her money rather than date you.
Wow.
But if you have a negative balance on Venmo of $7, you want to take care of that as quickly as possible.
Don't leave a negative balance on your Venmo account or else. This article was a little incoherent. I mean, it just talks about how they're going to send you to collections, even if it's only like $5 or $7 or whatever, if you have a negative balance. Normally, it's not... It's hard to set up a negative balance, but apparently with this whole like round of account hacks and stuff like that, there were some hacks that people sent, you know, $5 here and there. And there's, you know,
if you could reverse the charges.
Well, they reverse the charges in some cases themselves. And
no, you're going to reverse the charge from the funding source.
Oh yeah.
So Venmo sent that $7 to the Tinder thought. But you thought better of it after she ghosted you right after she got the money. So you reversed it at your bank.
Well, that's your problem, yes. But this article also talked about some other situation where like accounts were compromised and Venmo was like, no, don't do that. But then somehow Venmo was saying you still owe money. That part was kind of incoherent.
They will also yank that money right out of your PayPal. So if
your PayPal's linked up.
If your PayPal is fueling your Venmo, then yeah.
What a mess.
The legacy of Elon Musk. PayPal is such a horrible thing. McDonald's. McDonald's, it's interesting. For years, McDonald's was just kind of like consistent quality, I felt like. But these days, every time I go to McDonald's, I always drive through and never go inside. They can't get it done in time, and I have to pull over to the side. And I'm ordering like the numbers. I'm ordering the most basic shit. Nuggets, burgers, fries. And somehow it's like, oh, we don't have those ready. And it's like, what are you thinking? But it seems like McDonald's maybe not concerned so much about the food anymore. They're ready to get on big data.
McDonald's bites on big data with a $300 million acquisition. So they're buying a company that's going to help them analyze all the data. You know the signs where it says over 99 billion served? Well, they're going to analyze all that data.
The idea is... If you're doing the app ordering, or if you're driving through, or if you're using a kiosk, which is... Oh.
I'm not supposed to get calls today.
We'll leave that in. If you're ordering in any of those three ways, the big data, or what the company they purchase, is going to try and figure out, hey, I think this person will buy a shake if you push them. I think they want a small fry to go with that. I think Sprite is what they want to drink. And so they're going to try to upsell you on all of the various things.
I can't wait until they also upsell Coke. They're like, look, we've got all this data. We think we can sell 30% more product, but you're going to have to pay us. And then Coke is like, yes.
They mentioned that they factor in all kinds of stuff. Location, recent sales trends among all the world's McDonald's, even weather. So whether they try to give you nuggets or... A large fry could be based on whether it's raining or not.
One thing I've learned about the local McDonald's is that if you order through the app, you can usually get stuff. And you'll still have to pull over to the little thing. But when I go through drive-thru, I usually try to get breakfast. And they're like, no, we're supposed to have breakfast, but we're out or whatever. But if you order through the app, you can get it. Because I guess the app can't be like, no, you can't have, you know, biscuits today. The app is just
that
like,
makes
yeah,
sense.
Sounds good.
Because... If they canceled that order, then somebody would ask why.
Yeah.
Other than you.
Yeah. So I think some McDonald's are just like, no, we're not going to play by corporate's rules.
You know, it's too bad that Krista has ghosted us today because I was going to talk to her. She had a budding esports career in Overwatch, which she abandoned for her 2-year plan. And she could have one day gone to this arena.
Comcast is going to spend $50 million in South Philly to create the nation's first video gaming arena.
There's a mock-up of it.
$50 million.
Fusion Arena.
I remember seeing there was something about this. I wasn't. It was on ESPN. There was a Twitter thread where like ESPN was doing an esports thing, and they announced it on Twitter. And there was a ton of people on Twitter that were just like, "ESPN, what is this garbage on my like? I subscribe to watch sports. This is not sports. Go away."
Well, somebody mentioned they had Overwatch finals on one of the big networks, CBS, maybe. Yeah. So here it is. I assume these seats are the esports players, and there would probably be a screen up here or something, and then just a giant stadium. Or you can be down here in the orchestra pit if you're a hardcore fan.
Seems like it would just be easier to watch this on your own laptop.
I mean, that's true of every sport. I mean, have you ever been to a football game?
No.
If you're not down there on the field, even if you are on the field, you're seeing a kind of a weird angle on the game. But if you're way up top, of course it's better to be at home.
I had there was somebody that was convinced that I would have a good time at a basketball game, so we got like these unobtainable courtside seats where you could like smell the players sweating. It was awful.
Wow. I think most people do that to try to be seen. Not to see the game themselves.
I'm going to be sitting next to Jeff Bezos with the ringside seats or whatever. I don't think ringside is even what that's called, but whatever.
Courtside.
Courtside.
e-begging is what we've been accused of so many times.
Store.level1text.com. Get your t-shirts and merchandise.
And the Patreon and Ko-fi.
Thank you.
And
we love you guys. Yeah, it's
maybe,
awesome.
Maybe that is what we're doing, but a lot of people do it. A lot of people want to get funded for their various things that they're up to. But GoFundMe has said no more for a certain fringe group.
GoFundMe has banned anti-vaxxer funding campaigns to curb misinformation. Womp womp.
This is a pretty good stock photo. Look at this. Like, you got that little bubble right there. That's just pure autism coming out the end of that needle. So, yeah. Apparently, people have GoFunded. So it's like, well, how do you GoFund non-vaccine? Like, just don't do it. But apparently, they were funding awareness. You know, they wanted to spread the word.
Yeah, if people believe in something, it's dangerous.
Yeah, you think? You think maybe it, like buildings could blow up? Now
more soma.
Now on to the Facebook block. We had the Apple block. Now we must have the Facebook block. And this just came out, I think, yesterday. And you gotta wonder, is this like, has the robot analyzed all possible outcomes and found that the best move is just to get in front of it?
Yes. Mark Zuckerberg has asked governments to help control internet content. I think this is kind of a I don't think he actually expects them to do this. This is kind of like a fake mea culpa where it's just like, this is, you know, we've been tackling this since the whole Cambridge Analytica thing. And we put our best minds on this and we just don't see a good solution. We're going to need government help to do this.
So here's the bullet list of all the various things. And it basically just all boils down to, he wants a standard set of rules and he wants it to be enforced across the entire tech industry. I think one of the smart things about this for him is if it goes this way, it hamstrings the startup that's going to replace Facebook.
Yeah.
Which is inevitable. But if they have to play by these rules, they can't afford to, and he can. And it prolongs.
I think we're seeing the birth of an industry. Like, if you look at how cable TV was born in America, it was really interesting because it was like, we're just going to take over the air signals and rebroadcast them on a wire. Like, that's all we're going to do. That's how that industry was started. It's like, we're not going to change or alter that content in any way. These companies are broadcasting their stuff all over America. We're going to take what they're broadcasting. We're going to put it on a wire for somebody that happens to be behind a mountain. And that's all we're going to do. And then it was, hey, we're going to add our own advertisements. And then it was, hey, we're going to add our own content, stuff that you can't get over the air. And so it kind of evolved to the point that now if some company were trying to be a cable TV company, it's basically impossible to do that because of regulation. Like, the incumbents have got it locked up. That's what Zuckerberg's up to here with social media. It's like, we're going to lock up the industry by making it impossible. Like, if we wanted to start our own Facebook, we wouldn't be able to because regulations.
The Christchurch thing is obviously the catalyst for this. But as we talked about in the last episode, even with all of that in place, could they do better than 29 minutes?
No.
I don't think so. That if no one could have seen that coming, And once it was there,
29 minutes,
stopping the spread of it is whack-a-mole, no matter how you go.
Yeah.
And so how much better is it going to get with a regulation system?
The police force is literally selling access to it for $102 if you're a journalist.
Yeah, but that wouldn't change this, wouldn't change that.
No.
That's the police doing it. They have no regulators. There's no oversight for them. But maybe, you know, we presume that Zuckerberg is playing 4D chess here and he's thinking about, okay, how does this all play out? What's the end game and how do I get in front of it? And the reason I said that is because of this story, which describes, it's a former employee who describes that that's exactly how he operates.
Former Facebook executive Zuckerberg is sitting on more data about what people want to do online than anyone else in the world. One contemplates a universe where Zuckerberg is it's contemplating like what they were trying to do to Jeff Bezos with like the whole blackmail thing. It's like, I have that on literally everybody. Yeah. Facebook has been listening everywhere.
And he uses Instagram as one of the examples, because when they bought Instagram, Instagram wasn't what it is now. Yeah. It was kind of a novelty. And then they bought it and it blew up because they knew it would, because they had seen the trends. And now, even though Facebook itself is kind of languishing, they still have total power with Instagram and Snapchat. You can hate him, but you got to respect him. I mean, look what he's doing.
We might need that data in order to make a decision. We must know.
But, you know, you live by the data. Sometimes you die by it. Knowing too much causes you to discriminate, perhaps.
Housing department slaps Facebook with a discrimination charge. So this is, according to Facebook, this is an unfortunate side effect of their automatic algorithmic classification thing. So like the advertisers, like if you're looking to advertise on Facebook, it'll automatically group people together by a whole bunch of demographic data, like characteristics, like age, ethnicity, geographic location, blah, blah, blah. But it's against federal law to discriminate on whether or not somebody is going to, you know, for housing or whatever, according to age and ethnicity and where you are and that kind of thing. But a lot of people who are advertising real estate for sale, let's say that you're, you know, the DC suburbs, you don't want to advertise to poor people or
Spanish speaking people
or whatever. And so Facebook was like, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. But they did give you the tools. They had to know. No, there's no way someone tested that and didn't kind of raise their hand and be like, hey, I can say no to black people. Is that a feature or?
Part of me wants to know exactly how the interface was, because
no, they showed it.
The person using the tool should have at least some responsibility there.
Well, I agree. I think they gave advertisers exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
And people are happy to only advertise to certain people.
It should have been a trap. Like, oh, you did it. You used this in an illegal way.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any, you can't absolve the people that did it, but to create the tool.
Yeah.
That's like going after the street level drug dealer versus the importer. And we're wasting our time going after the street level guy. You got to get the guy that's bringing it into the country.
Do you think the fix would be, rather than to change the advertising system, just to add a paragraph of text that's like, now be sure you check your jurisdiction to know what the rules are for advertising, because we are not responsible for that. And if you just check the checkbox, then would that make it okay?
Is there anywhere in America where it's legal?
No, because federal.
Yeah.
But maybe in Canada. Maybe Canada's got some backwards housing laws.
There's no way it's okay to advertise only to white people in Canada.
Well, maybe in Mexico, it's like, click here to confirm that you're not a member of a drug cartel. No, you can't ask that when you're asking somebody for...
You can't. You can't get away with it. It's impossible. You can't defend that. And another thing that you can't get away with in Belgium is basically anything. They're looking for any excuse to tax the Zuck.
Facebook to fight Belgian ban on tracking users and even non-users. So how do you track a non-user? You know that Facebook click here to like or the like thing that lives on websites? That's how Facebook collected a lot of data.
Or log in with Facebook. Anytime you're loading their API, then they're able to use those.
They're just scraping the crap out of you.
The tracking cookies. And even if you don't log in, even if you've never used Facebook, they still have a profile for you. They have a pretty good idea who you are.
It's bad.
And yeah, that probably should be illegal. But in this case, I think there is blame to be had for all those websites who are putting those things on their website. They might not know what it is, but it doesn't make it better.
This has actually been a developing story for the better part of a couple of years, and Belgium had already ruled that, no, you can't use this kind of tracking cookies, but Facebook still is. And that's what's in contention here, too. So this is already, it's basically already been decided. Facebook's basically ignored them.
Man, I had a great joke for this one. And Krista's ruined it by not being here. Because I was going to say, hey, Krista, you use Facebook, right? And of course she does. She has to admit, because she is a Facebook user as much as we, you know, put it down. And then I was going to be like, oh, you're a white separatist too, aren't you? And then she would say no, of course, because she's not. And then I was going to say, I guess I have to get you a different wedding gift. And then she ruined it because she's not here.
Facebook bans white nationalism and separatism content from its platform.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least better late than never.
Yeah, I mean.
Here we are on March 27th, 2019. It's the time of the article.
I want to say, I'm almost always anti-censorship, but as a private company, I think Facebook probably should take this step to protect themselves and their users.
So. Facebook formally comes out denouncing human slavery and human trafficking, March 28th, 2019.
But this is another one of those things, like the advertising thing. If it wasn't such a hot topic right now, they wouldn't even think about it. It's like, no, those are extra users. You know what? They engage a lot. They spend a lot of time on the platform. We need them.
Also in a Facebook press release was Martin Van Buren, not a terrible guy, 2019.
And Zuckerberg, in the past, we have found out, had a penchant for memory holding some things.
Well, he had a penchant for saying exactly what he was planning to do, because why would he need to keep that secret? What possible, you know, reason would he have? It was like, I'm going to do this terrible thing because that is the best way to get me what I want.
And but he also, remember, he had the ability to delete not only his messages from his history, but his messages from other people's history.
Oh, yeah.
And he took advantage of that, and some people figured it out, and they were very upset, and they were like, no. He will not be able to do that. That's never going to happen again.
Facebook says it accidentally deleted some of Mark Zuckerberg's posts. These are really, really old posts. It says that some technical issues make it unlikely that they're going to come back. Womp womp.
Wonder if there's anything contradictory to the current
yes
ideas of Facebook.
There's probably at least three staff people whose sole job since Cambridge Analytica has been to go through everything that Zuckerberg has ever written or said in any form, and their final report came in last week, and it was like, okay, these are the high priority items, and those were top of the list.
That was 2007, 2008, which was, that was the infancy of Facebook, wasn't it?
I don't want to say infancy. It was starting to take off, but that was when he was starting to make a lot of money from it.
But it was before he had been taught how to be somebody with money.
Yeah.
How to be a nouveau riche robot.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm sure there's some very embarrassing stuff, and nobody had bothered to mine it yet.
Oops.
But it wouldn't take long. Some reporter would get in there eventually. Well, in our final Facebook story, again, we bring up something we talked about. I'm pretty sure it was 29 minutes. It took them, I think, right around 29, 30 minutes to get on top of the mosque shooting video, take it down, and then start tearing it down everywhere that they saw it. How could you get better than that?
Facebook has considered live video restrictions after the New Zealand attacks. So yeah, live video. Oh, this video is getting too popular. Shut it down.
Yeah, that's how else are you going to do it? But I don't think it even was that popular. It didn't have a lot of viewers as it happened because that guy was not well liked. You know, he didn't have a huge social circle, amazingly. So it didn't blow up till after.
Can you imagine in a world where like one of the terrorists managed to hack one of the Twitch Thoughts streams, and then it's like that happens and people are like, is this real?
What's the one girl's name that's always in the news because of her her orbiters, Amaranth.
All of a sudden it's like, I mean, that would be terrible.
There's a beheading video.
I don't want to laugh about that, but it's just so absurd. I mean,
but
it's like an allergic reaction to a bee sting. I mean, these kinds of things are going to happen. It doesn't mean we have to curtail all this, like taking away all.
We have to eradicate the bees.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know what, I mean, what is there going to be like a little tagging system? It's like, oh, it looks like you're planning a mass shooting. Is this what you were planning to broadcast? Because that would be against the rules. Of course, anybody who's going to abuse the platform for this is not, they're going to get around it easily.
Remember that guy with the MMA fight? Like, I was reading this and thinking about, it was, he thought he was pretending to play MMA 2019, but he was live streaming a
the Conor McGregor.
Yeah, but it was like, he had the controller and he was doing stuff, and it's like, wait a minute. I see what's happening here.
It does. It speaks to the photorealism of modern gaming, for sure. But yeah, people are going to find a way around it. And if you're willing to mass shoot, you're willing to lie about your live video broadcast. So I don't know exactly how they think they would get in front of this. Probably this is just, like you say, this is a feel-good thing.
The way to take the wind out of the sails of those kind of people is just for the populace to be more educated. It's really not any more complicated than that.
Sure, yeah. That's what we'll do. So,
Okay, we'll see you Friday. It's fine. We did better on this episode.